Welcome to Then and Now with Ed Stevens, President of the International Preterist Association. Then and Now is a weekly podcast designed to explore past fulfillment of Bible prophecy in order to equip us for guiding the church in its ongoing reform. And now, with today's message, here's Ed Stevens.
Well, here we go for another study of the resurrection from a full preterist perspective. Last time we looked at the phrase, our body, which is found in Philippians 3:21. We noted that this is one of the flagship texts used by the collective body advocates to support their concept of the resurrection of a collective body in AD 70. However, we showed that the phrase, our body, was used in an individual body sense, thus negating its support for the collective body view. This session we'll be dealing with a clarification of more of the resurrection terminology, especially the phrase resurrection of the dead ones, and other words and phrases that are connected with it. We have a lot of ground to cover, so let's pray and then get right into our study. Sovereign Lord of the universe, who alone has all power and knowledge, unchanging, immortal, eternal, and supremely holy, who works all things according to your holy will and for your glory alone, we worship your holy name and give you all praise for your saving work in our lives. We know that we have forgiveness because of the death of your Son for us, and that we have an afterlife in heaven in new immortal bodies because of his resurrection out of Hades and his ascension to heaven. We ask for your presence with us as we study your holy and absolutely authoritative word. Help us to understand what it teaches about the resurrection of the dead at the Parousia in the first century. It is in the exalted and glorified name of your Son Jesus that we pray. Amen. There's lots of terminology floating around out there in Pretland, especially in regard to the resurrection issue. Unfortunately, a lot of it was invented by the futurist to support their bodies out of the grave resurrection view, or some of it has been redefined by fellow preterist to support their own particular view of the resurrection, such as the collective body view. There's an old tidbit of debate wisdom that relates to this problem of terminology, and it goes something like this. He who defines the terms wins the debate. So if the futurist definitions and concepts about resurrection are correct, then they automatically win the debate. That is why we all need to go back to the Bible to see how it defines these terms and concepts in its context. We might also add that ultimately, in the long run, the only definitions and concepts that will stand the test of time are those which come from the Bible and are in harmony with what the Bible teaches. So that will be our focus here, trying to discover how the Bible defines all these words and phrases and concepts that are connected with the resurrection issue. There are six Greek words that are used in the New Testament to refer to resurrection in some sense. The first of these is agiro, which means to raise up or get up or stand up. The second word in the Greek is anistemi, which is the verb form of anastasis, which means to stand up, rise up, raise up, or stand again is the idea. The third word in the Greek that we want to be mindful of is anastasis, which is translated resurrection in just about all of its occurrences in our New Testament. It's a noun form, and therefore it's translated as a noun, resurrection, rather than as a verb like raise up or stand up. Another word that's used in our New Testament about resurrection is ex anastasis, which is a form of anastasis, but it's only used one time in the New Testament, but it simply just means to be raised out of or a resurrection out of, whereas anastasis just normally means resurrection. Ex anastasis means resurrection out of. And then there's the word zao, which is a form of the word for life, zoe in the Greek. Zao is a verb, and it means to be physically alive, to live, to have life, come to life is the idea. It's related to life, living, coming to life. And then the sixth word that we want to look at in some of these verses is anazao, which means to live again, to come back to life. Ana means again, and zao means live. So anazao simply means to come back to life, to live again. Okay, the key to understanding resurrection is not the word resurrection itself. You'll really understand what I mean by that when we get further into our study here. But the key to really understanding what the resurrection was all about is not just defining and explaining what all the words mean, such as anastasis and agiro, etc. It's certainly important to know what those words mean, but that is not the critical factor in understanding what the eschatological resurrection was in the first century. Instead, we need to focus on the objects of that resurrection. Who or what was raised, and from where were they raised? Those are the two key questions that will help us understand what the resurrection was in the first century. The biblical phrases are resurrection of the dead ones or resurrection from out of the dead ones. Notice that latter phrase especially, resurrection from out of the dead ones. The most important words in that phrase for our study here are the words out of and the dead ones. This phrase, resurrection out of the dead ones, raises two key questions which we need to spend the rest of this session answering. Question number one, who or what were the dead ones? And number two, where were the dead ones before they were raised out of there? You see, we really cannot know for sure what the resurrection was all about until we know who the dead ones are and where they were raised out of. In this study, we will see that the dead were the dead ones who were in Hades in the unseen realm. Revelation 20 shows this very clearly when it shows that the dead were in Hades and were raised out of there at the end of the millennium just before death in Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Hades was emptied at the resurrection and judgment. The dead were raised out of Hades, and then Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. I believe this text, Revelation 20, provides some of the clearest information about who the dead were and where they were raised out of. Well, that's the title of this message, is Who and Where Were the Dead Ones? There are two key phrases used in the New Testament about resurrection, and they are, number one, resurrection of the dead ones. That's used 9 times in 9 different verses in the New American Standard Bible. And then the second phrase is resurrection from or out of the dead ones. And that phrase is used 5 times in 5 different verses in our New Testament in the New American Standard Bible. And what's interesting is that Paul uses both of these phrases in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, where it reads, "Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead ones?" The Greek is literally translated raised out of the dead ones and resurrection of the dead ones. And notice the dead ones there is plural in both phrases. And so Jesus was raised out of the dead ones, plural. It was Jesus being raised out of a plural number of dead ones, which were in Hades. Do you see how Paul is using these two phrases? While it is true that Jesus' self-same body came back to life, that is not what this text is referring to when it says that Jesus was raised out of the dead ones, plural. The dead ones is plural. It's not speaking of a single dead body being raised, but of Jesus being raised out of a plural number of dead ones in Hades. The focus here is on Christ being raised back out of the place where the dead ones were, that is, in Hades, where he himself had gone at his death on the cross. It is not talking about his dead body being raised out of the tomb, which is what it would have to mean if it's not talking about his resurrection back out of Hades. If that was what the phrase "the dead" is referring to here in 1 Corinthians 15:12, the dead bodies, then it would probably have that same meaning in a number of other resurrection texts which also use that phrase, "the dead ones." However, we can see from such texts as Revelation 20 and others that the dead ones is a reference to those dead disembodied souls who were in Hades at the time of the resurrection, and they were raised out of Hades and given their new bodies if they were righteous souls. So this means that Paul is not talking about the body of Jesus being raised here in this text. His focus is on the disembodied soul or spirit of Christ that descended into Sheol or Hades and then was raised back out of there 3 days later. In both phrases in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12, it is referring to the dead ones who were in Sheol or Hades. Who were these dead ones that were going to be raised at the Parousia? The dead, or the dead ones, is a phrase that is used throughout the Bible in reference to all humans who had died before the first century. Their bodies had returned to dust, and their disembodied souls or spirits had gone to Sheol or Hades in the unseen realm to wait for the resurrection back out of there at the last day. The dead ones were obviously in Hades or Sheol waiting for the resurrection. That is where Jesus went during the 3 days between his death and his resurrection. Scripture says that Jesus was raised out of the place where the dead ones were. This forces us to look more closely at this phrase, out of the dead or from the dead, as it's used in our New Testament. Who are the dead? And where are the dead? And what does it mean to be raised up out of the dead ones? Again, Revelation 20, I think, explicitly states that the dead would be raised out of Hades at the end of the millennium and then judged and sent to their eternal dwelling places. So the eschatological resurrection that is referred to in that text is clearly a resurrection of disembodied souls out of Hades, and not a resurrection of dead bodies out of the grave. Well, below in our lesson outline, I've listed a whole bunch of texts which talk about the dead in being in Hades and being raised out of Hades, and we're going to look at a few of those. I'm not going to take the time to look at all of them, and it's not an exhaustive list. It doesn't contain all the verses that mention the dead, but I felt this would help us understand who the dead are and where the dead were being raised from. So let's look at a few of these so that we can identify more clearly who the dead are and where they were being raised from. And the first text I want to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 11, which reads, "Or one who cast a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead." Now, notice it mentions these spiritualists or spiritists and mediums and necromancers who call up the dead and communicate with the dead. That was not something that the law allowed them to do, and yet there were people who did that kind of thing. And notice it mentions that they called up the dead ones. Well, that implies that the dead were conscious in the Sheol or Hades realm. They were not bodies in the grave. The dead here that's being spoken of, being called up, were conscious, disembodied dead folks in Sheol, and they were being communicated with by this necromancer. So it's not talking about dead bodies in the grave, but dead disembodied souls in Sheol. The dead, there in Deuteronomy 18, verse 11, is identified as those who are conscious in Sheol. In Psalm 88, verse 10, it reads this way, "Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you?" Notice it says that the dead here are departed spirits, and that implies that they were conscious spirits, and they were in the realm of the dead, which would be Sheol or Hades. And so it refers to the dead ones as departed spirits, not dead bodies in the grave or in the tombs. Also in Proverbs 9, verse 18, it says, "But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." And it's talking here about a foolish young man who went to the house of a harlot. He was foolish because he didn't realize what he was doing to himself. He was destroying his future and his afterlife and destroying his own physical body as well. Notice it says in Proverbs 9:18, "But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." And so that again identifies who the dead are. It's speaking about people who are in Sheol. It's not talking about dead bodies in the grave. In Isaiah 8, verse 19, it says, "When they say to you, 'Consult the mediums and the spiritist who whisper and mutter,' should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living?" Now, notice what that implies again about these spiritists and necromancers and mediums who were consulting the dead on behalf of the living. We know that King Saul went to a necromancer at Endor and consulted with Samuel about what was going to happen the next day in battle. We see Samuel conjured up by that necromancer and communicates with Saul and tells Saul what is going to happen. And so Saul hears from Samuel. The medium or necromancer didn't conjure up Samuel's body out of the grave. She conjured up his soul, disembodied soul, out of Sheol to talk to Saul. And so, again, that text, I think, very clearly shows who the dead are and where they are. The dead ones were conscious souls in Hades or Sheol. In Isaiah 14, verse 9, it says, "Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones." Now, again, that indicates that the dead were conscious in Sheol, and it's referred to as the spirits of the dead ones, all the leaders of the earth, all the kings of the nations. In Sheol, their spirits were there. They were dead folk, but their spirits were conscious in Sheol, and they were excited over this other wicked nation that was destroyed, and all their dead went to Sheol. These other wicked nations that were already there were excited to meet them when they came. I guess misery likes company, so that explains why they were so excited about these other wicked nations joining them there in their misery. Okay, in Matthew 22, I want to go into the New Testament now and look at a few texts there which help us define who the dead are and where they are. Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And notice in the context here, Jesus is talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still being alive in Sheol. They were dead physically. Their bodies were dead, but they were alive in Sheol. And Jesus goes on to say in there in that context that he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That implies that the dead who were in Hades were conscious and alive. They were not unconscious or out of existence. So it's conscious dead ones in Hades. And also in Mark chapter 9, verse 10, it reads this way, "They seized upon that statement, discussing with one another what rising out of the dead ones meant." And of course, this is talking about Jesus' own disciples, not really understanding what Jesus was talking about when he said that he was going to rise from out of the dead ones. They didn't even believe he was going to die, much less have to be raised. And so they discussed with one another what in the world Jesus is talking about when he talked about rising out of the dead ones. But notice that phrase, rising out of the dead ones. That's a strange way to talk about dead bodies coming out of the graves. And so, since this is plural here, it says the dead ones, plural, it cannot be referring to Jesus' body. It must be referring to Jesus' soul or spirit being raised up out of the dead ones who were in Hades. Same way that we see here in Mark chapter 12, verse 25, which reads this way, "For when they rise from out of the dead ones, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Again, we see that idea of rising out of the dead ones. It's a strange way to talk about dead bodies coming out of the graves. It certainly is not talking about that. It's instead referring to disembodied souls being raised up out of Hades. And when they're raised out of Hades and taken to heaven, it says that they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And that's exactly what our new bodies are going to be like in heaven. They're not going to be capable of marrying and giving in marriage because they're spiritual bodies, immortal bodies, not limited by the flesh. So that passage is talking about rising out of Hades and going to heaven where they'll be like angels in their new bodies that God will give them. Well, there's another text here that we want to look at in Luke chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And of course, this is the text that talks about Lazarus and the rich man who died and went to Hades. And here in Luke 16, verse 30, the rich man is talking to Abraham. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them out of the dead ones, they will repent." And of course, Abraham answered him back and said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises out of the dead ones." Now, those two verses, Luke 16, 30 and 31, I think really nail the point that the souls of the dead in Hades were conscious. I mean, here we have Abraham and the rich man communicating consciously in Hades. And so notice that the rich man here in verse 30 refers to the dead ones as being there in Hades with him, and that if someone was raised out of there, they were being raised from out of Hades to go back to preach to his brothers and tell them to repent. And so this whole text talks about the fact that the dead were conscious in Hades. This rich man was requesting Abraham to send someone, one of those conscious souls, back out of Hades to preach to his brothers. And that's what he says here in verse 30. He says, "If someone goes to them out of the dead ones, they will repent." And Abraham says, "Oh, no, they won't. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe even if somebody rises from out of the dead ones and goes to them." So I think that passage really nails who the dead ones are and where they are. The dead ones here in Luke 16:30 are clearly in Hades, and to be raised out of there is to be raised out of Hades. Also in Luke 20, verse 35, it's a parallel text of some of the other verses that we looked at in Matthew and Mark before. It's talking about those seven husbands of the woman, and all seven of those husbands died childless. The woman died also, and then the Sadducees asked Jesus, what's going to happen to them in the resurrection? And so it's talking about eight dead people, seven dead husbands and one dead wife. They were all dead. Well, where were they? If they were dead, they were in Hades or Sheol. And so Jesus says about them in response to the Sadducees' question about what's going to happen to them, which one of them is going to be the husband of that woman when they're raised out of the dead. And Jesus says, Luke 20, verse 35, those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection out of the dead ones, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Well, that should be very easy for us to understand. Yet our collective body brothers have just distorted that text way out of our comprehension and made it so difficult to understand, unnecessarily so, because this is easy to understand when you know who the dead ones are and where they are. It's talking about the dead ones in Hades being raised out of there and taken to heaven and getting their new immortal bodies. It's not talking about a collective body of dead Jews being raised out of covenantal dead Judaism. Is talking about dead disembodied souls being raised out of Hades. And so we know it's talking about them being raised and given their new bodies, because in those new bodies they can neither marry nor are given in marriage. That certainly doesn't apply to us now in this life. So it's talking only about dead folk and what their status would be after they were raised out of Hades and given their new bodies. Okay, in Luke chapter 20, verse 37, in that same context, Jesus is again responding to the Sadducees there who reject the idea of resurrection. And he shows that the dead are, in fact, going to be raised, because he says, even Moses showed this in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him, even the Hadean dead, as we noticed in Luke chapter 16. Those dead ones who were in Hades were still conscious and alive. They were not unconscious. And that's what Jesus is referring to here in refutation of the Sadducees who denied an afterlife and a resurrection. And so here Jesus in Luke 20, verse 38, refers to the dead in Hades as being alive and conscious. So it cannot be talking about a resurrection of dead bodies out of the graves. It's talking about a resurrection of souls out of Hades. Okay, in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, knowing that Christ, having been raised out of the dead ones, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. Notice again here that Christ Jesus was raised out of the dead ones. It cannot be talking about his dead body out of the grave, because it's plural, dead ones. He's raised out of the dead ones, not his body raised out of the grave, singular. Is talking about being raised out of the dead ones. Very clear there in Jesus' case what it's referring to. Jesus was raised out of the dead ones. Well, where were the dead ones? They were in Hades, obviously. That's where Jesus went at his death. He went to Hades where the dead ones were, and he preached to the dead ones there, and then came back out of the dead ones 3 days later. And if you'll notice on our PDF here, our lesson outline, there's just a ton of scriptures that I'm not dealing with. I'm dealing with very few of them on the list, but I think these will help us understand who the dead were and where they were and what it means to be raised up out of the dead ones. Romans 10, verse 7, Paul says, or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from or out of the dead ones. Notice, if someone descended into the abyss, that would be, in some sense, to bring Christ up out of the dead ones. Well, that tells us where the dead ones were. The dead ones were in the abyss or in Hades. That's where the abyss is in the deeper recesses of Hades. And so if someone descended into the abyss or in Hades, that would be to bring Christ up out of the dead ones. So the dead ones were in Hades or the abyss. Again, another very clear text that helps us decide who the dead ones are and where they are and what the resurrection is all about. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn out of the dead ones, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." Now, for our collective body, brothers, notice it says singular there. There's that Christ is the head of the body, singular, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn out of the dead ones. Now, the dead ones there cannot be referring to the body, the church, because the dead ones is plural. And so that tells us that the dead ones are something other than the church or the collective body. It's referring to a plural number of dead ones. And Jesus is the firstborn out of the dead ones. Firstborn typically means the one who had the preeminence or the first place, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He was the first one or the highest one or the most preeminent one out of all the dead ones who were raised out of the dead. He had the preeminence. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead or out of the dead ones, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord." Now notice again, it says, "brought up out of the dead ones, the great shepherd of the sheep," speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus was brought up out of the dead ones at his resurrection. Not talking about his body being brought out of the grave. He's talking about his disembodied soul or spirit being brought up out of Hades where the dead ones were. That's easy to understand. That shouldn't take a lot of explanation here, but for some reason or other, our collective body brothers just don't get it. They just don't see what this text is talking about. They just have to have that collective body in there some way or another. They got to shoehorn that idea into the text so it'll fit their paradigm. But it's clearly not talking about a collective body being raised out of dead Judaism here. And it's not talking about Jesus having a collective body or a singular body being raised out of the grave here either. It's talking about being brought up out of the dead ones in Hades. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead ones." Now, I think that's pretty easy to understand. Notice it talks about judging them. You can't judge dead bodies, but you can certainly judge dead disembodied souls that are brought out of Hades for judgment. And the wicked dead certainly did not get new immortal bodies anyway. And so they were still disembodied at the judgment. But even though they were disembodied, they were still conscious and alive. So at the judgment, the living and the dead were judged. Okay, Revelation 11, verse 18. It says, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." Notice it says, the dead ones to be judged. The time came for the dead ones to be judged. Well, you can't judge unconscious folk. The fact that they were judged implies that they were conscious. And so these dead ones were conscious. Okay, in Revelation 14, verse 13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Now here it definitely implies that the dead righteous would be conscious in that place where they were going, and they would be blessed in that place as well. blessed are the dead ones who die in the Lord from now on. It's not talking about their bodies. It's talking about their disembodied souls or spirits being blessed. You can't be blessed if you're unconscious. Revelation 20, verse 5, it says, "The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection." And notice it says the rest of the dead ones did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. And so there was a first resurrection at the beginning of the millennium, and then the rest of the dead ones did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. Now, what does that tell us? It talks about the rest of the dead ones coming to life at the end of the millennium. Is that talking about dead bodies coming back to life? Well, that's the way our futurist friends would like it to read. They would like to think that it's talking about dead bodies, but here in the context, it's talking about dead souls or dead disembodied souls who were in Hades, being brought out of Hades, and we'll see that here in the next couple of texts that we're going to look at in Revelation 20, verse 12 and 13. At the end of the millennium, we see these rest of the dead brought back to life. And it says, verse 12, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." Now notice what verse 13 says. It says the dead were in Hades, and death and Hades gave up the dead. That means they rendered up, they delivered up. The dead were brought up out of Hades and judged. And so there it very clearly refers to the dead ones as being in Hades and being brought up out of Hades for judgment. Well, that's all the text that I think we're going to look at. I think that's enough. I think it would have worn all of us out if we'd have tried to deal with all the texts that I have listed here in the outline. But they're there. If you want to go through them, I think that'll help confirm for you that the dead ones were, in fact, those disembodied souls of all those folks who had died up until Christ's day. They were in Hades. It's not talking about dead bodies in the graves. It's talking about resurrecting dead disembodied souls or spirits out of Hades. I think these texts that we've looked at have pretty much clarified the two questions that we ask at the very beginning. Number one was, who are these dead ones? And number two, where are they being raised out of? I believe we have very effectively shown, using these texts, who the dead ones were and where they were raised out of. It was not a bodies out of the graves resurrection at all. It was instead a souls out of Hades resurrection. So if the collective body brothers try to tell you that the dead ones are Old Testament Jews who are in the covenantally dead body of Judaism and being raised out of that dead body of Judaism into the life of the kingdom and the life of the church, you simply need to point them to these texts that we've looked at and say, "Nuh-uh, it is not so. There's no collective body here. This is talking about the dead disembodied souls of the dead being raised out of Hades." This means that the second century church fathers who formulated the unbiblical phrase resurrection of the flesh, or resurrection of the body, in order to refute the Gnostics, misunderstood both the time and the nature of fulfillment of the resurrection event. Those second century church fathers failed to understand who the dead are and where the dead were being raised out of, because they didn't know that the resurrection had already occurred They misunderstood the nature of the resurrection and assumed that it was talking about dead bodies coming out of the graves. And furthermore, they needed that resurrection of the dead ones to mean resurrection of dead bodies, because if they didn't have it mean that, they would not be able to refute the Gnostics who were spiritualizing the resurrection and the afterlife. And so the second century church fathers were driven by their need to refute the Gnostics to the extreme of distorting the nature of fulfillment of the resurrection. They did not seem to notice their error in their haste to condemn the Gnostics. The Gnostics were over-spiritualizing the resurrection and the afterlife, so the second century Christians went to the other equally wrong and opposite extreme of over-physicalizing the resurrection and the afterlife. So the Gnostics went to one extreme of over-spiritualizing, and the second century church fathers went to the other extreme of over-physicalizing. Both extremes are wrong and unbiblical. They developed that phrase, resurrection of the flesh, which is unbiblical. There's no text in our Bible that refers to the resurrection as a resurrection of the flesh, nor is there any text which talks about a resurrection of the body. Yet those are the two phrases they had to come up with in order to refute the Gnostics. The only phrase that the Bible uses is the resurrection of the dead, or the resurrection out of the dead ones. That's the biblical phrase. They simply just did not understand what the Bible was talking about. They went to the equally opposite extreme, an equally wrong extreme, of over-physicalizing the resurrection and the afterlife. This helps us see more of the impact that the rapture had upon that late 1st and early 2nd century church, because they didn't have the apostles around to correct and refute all the Judaizers and Gnostics and heretics that proliferated immediately after the parousia. Then they did not have anybody to guide them and understand it correctly. They didn't know that it had already happened, and they didn't know the nature of it when it did happen. The resurrection is just one more example of how the post-70 church was very confused about a lot of different issues, and the resurrection is just one of them. There's many, many more issues that they did not understand correctly. And I think the rapture is part of the reason why they didn't have access to the apostles to help them understand all that. Well, that's just about going to do it for this session. I trust that this has helped you understand the resurrection of the dead ones a little bit better and help you understand why it cannot be talking about bodies out of the grave, nor is it talking about a collective body out of the dead grave of Judaism, but is instead talking about souls out of Hades. That should help you in understanding who the dead were and where they were raised out of. That will do it for this time. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been Then and Now with Ed Stevens. We would love to hear from you. Send your email to preterist1@preterist.org. Our website has many great articles, books, and audio video resources. The address is www.preterist.org. This teaching ministry depends on your donations and you share in all the good fruit that we produce. To make a donation or support monthly, simply go to our website, www.preterist.org, or call us at 814-368-6578. Join us again next time for Then and Now, where we study the past to shape a better future.